Now, practically the rest of the show is going to be devoted to a bit of a legend in Scottish music circles, a bit of a legend in world music circles. She's from Glasgow originally, and now she's back in Glasgow, Maggie Reilly. A lot of you might know her from the work that she did with Mike Oldfield, but, you know, she has worked with the likes of Dave Gilmour from Pink Floyd and Jack Bruce from Cream, and the list goes on and on and on. I'm going to be playing some of the artists she's been associated with as the show goes on. But first and foremost, we're going to be talking to her about her own wonderful career and her own music. So I didn't think of a better way to start to introduce Maggie Reilly than this next song. A song that was a big hit practically in every country in the world. If it wasn't number one, then it was up in the top five or the top ten. And most people know that it was Mike Oldfield, but some people might not know that the lead vocalist on that song was Maggie Reilly. And she's from Glasgow originally, and now she is back in Glasgow. And I'm very pleased to say she's sitting here in the departure lounge for Doris Island. So a big welcome to the Sunday session to Maggie Reilly.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
It's absolutely wonderful to have you here. Did you realise you've got lots and lots and lots of fans in Celtic Music Radio land?
I didn't, but it's great to know. Thank you.
I got an email before the show from Lynn over in Texas, and she says, "Kieran, I'm so excited about this. I didn't sleep last night."
Oh, dear.
It's the effect you have on people.
Nor did I.
So, I mean, you're from Glasgow originally, and you played in a sort of a funk band called Cato Bell.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, tell me in your own words about that, how it all started.
It really started with Joe Cool. Mm-hmm. I went off, well, first of all, there was a friend of mine called Johnny Dick, who mm-hmm. was from Moodysburn, mm-hmm. which everybody here will know, mm-hmm. and he used to write songs. And he would send them off to publishers in London. And one day he said to me, "Look, just for variation, would you sing some of the songs that I'm sending off?" Which mm-hmm. I did. Mm-hmm. And then we got a call from the people at Chapel saying, "Well, we'd really like the singer to come down and do some recording." So I ended up going down, mm-hmm. recording a single. Mm-hmm. Then I wasn't I was a bit unhappy about it. Mm-hmm. So I came back home and I thought, "Oh, we'll just stay at home."
Are you a homebird, really?
Well, I love Scotland, you know. Yeah. And I put an ad in the paper, The Times, mm-hmm. just saying, I want to sing in a band. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a band.
You were just a wee girl at the time.
I was. Yeah. And I got a call from a guy called Duncan McCallum mm-hmm. just minutes after I'd phoned the ad in. And I mm-hmm. thought, well, how can that be? And what had happened was he had phoned The Times to put an ad in looking for a singer. Mm-hmm. And they'd said, "Oh, wee lassie was just on." And mm-hmm. and so that's how I met Stuart McKillop in the end, because he was the keyboard player. Mm-hmm. We formed Joe Cool, and from that, we then formed Cato Bell with some of the guys from Up.
Mm-hmm. I actually got an email, another one before the show. It was on Facebook, actually. Someone living in California, but originally from Glasgow. And he was so proud. He says, "My band did support for Cato Bell on Socky Hall Street in Glasgow in 1976. Would that be correct?
It could well be. What was the name of his band?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on, man. Tell us what your band was.
But that brought back memories for him. So he just wanted to get in there and say, "I knew her before she became really famous."
No, that's really good. I mean, I still hear from a lot of people from that time. Mm. I mean, Davy Roy, the drummer in Cato Bell, saw him recently when I did a show at the Tron. Mm-hmm. I've kept in touch with all the other guys on and off over the mm-hmm. years, and worked with various combinations mm-hmm. of them. And mm-hmm. Stuart and I have worked together constantly.
Yeah, obviously. And you're still working together.
I know, still arguing, still working together.
It's like an old marriage,
isn't it? It is a bit, you know, it is a bit. I've known him most of my life, I think.
But the next thing was, you were living in Ireland. Do you have Irish roots?
Well, Reilly is a kind of giveaway
yeah.
there.
I should say that one of our regular listeners, Jerry Reilly in Airdrie, he's telling everyone that he's related to you. He
could well be, because
they're all wanting a part of you.
No, all the Reillys. I had a whole contingent of my family from the Reilly part of the family. They all came to the Tron gig that I did at the Celtic Connections.
That's right, yeah.
And my uncle Charles, my dad's brother and things, they all came, and it was fantastic. Mm. I mean, there's lots of Reillys and lots I haven't seen for years.
Yeah.
But I intend to rectify this
But
soon.
As far as you know, there was an Irish connection.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I think most of my relatives originally came from Cavan, round about that way.
Okay. And did you live there for a while?
I lived in Dublin for a year in 79. Mm-hmm. because Cato Bell split and we all went off to do things on our own. Mm. Stuart went off to do ABBA.
I'm going to get to ABBA. Going to talk about that later.
Alan went off to Berkeley in California to study music. Colin and I went over to play with a band called Stagalee mm-hmm. in Dublin. Mm-hmm. And we stayed there for a year. And then I decided to come home. But Colin stayed on there and mm-hmm. ended up working with Johnny Logan from the Eurovision and all that.
It's so incestuous, isn't it? I know, it's great. But the next thing was
that
you were working with Mike Oldfield. For anyone who doesn't know the story, tell us how that came about.
Well, that was Stuart had worked with ABBA. He came mm-hmm. back after a couple of years working mm-hmm. with them, mm-hmm. started working with Mike. Mm-hmm. And there was a whole, virtually all of Cato Bell's old crew, sound engineer Simon Johnson, everybody, they were all working mm-hmm. with Mike. And I had just come back from Ireland and they were starting their tour in Dundee, mm-hmm. of all places. Mm-hmm. And so I went up to Dundee mm-hmm. and I was sitting chatting with everybody and it was like, you know, I hadn't seen them for a year mm-hmm. and it was great. And Sally Cooper, Mike's then mm-hmm. wife, mm-hmm. she had been a Cato Bell fan. Mm-hmm. She worked at Virgin. Mm-hmm. And she said to Mike, you should get her to sing with you because mm-hmm. she's really good.
Yeah.
And Mike came over and sort of came up with a guitar in his hand and very awkwardly said, I hear you're a bit of a singer, you know. This was in the uni at Dundee. And I sort of looked at him and I went, I hear you can play guitar.
Good for you.
And he went, well, yes. And I sort of looked at him, well, what? You know, what? And he said, would you like to sing with me? And uh-huh. I said, well, when? And he said, well, now, really.
Because I read that you weren't really a big fan at the time. You didn't think much. You didn't think it was your type of music.
It was Edinburgh music, really. Mm-hmm. Anyone in Scotland will realise. Edinburgh, they like this sort of effete kind of Genesis, yeah. Mike Oldfield, sort of yeah. dreamy kind of stuff.
You're Glasgow,
we're gritty. We're kind of Frank Sinatra. And then it's all kind of soul and funk and stuff like that. And so there was a real divide in that 30-odd miles. So I didn't really know his music. Obviously, I'd heard Tubular Bells on the radio. Mm. Who couldn't? But I didn't know it at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of an eye-opener. We mm-hmm. sat down. He had an acoustic guitar. I had bits of paper. Wrote everything down, little cue cards for myself, mm-hmm. put them on the floor mm-hmm. and sung.
Was it... did it work from the start? You know, was there magic in the air from those first jamming sessions?
I don't know. Well, we did that. That was a show. I mean, that was quite a thing to sort of just do it without any rehearsal, really. Mm. And it was really good, actually. Mm. And then he sort of said at the end, well, that was really good. Do you want to come on tour? And I said, well, where are you going? You know?
He said,
I knew they were doing a world tour, but uh-huh. I said, well, where are you going? And he said, well, we're going to Ireland first. And I thought, uh-huh. oh, great, I'll just uh-huh. go back to Ireland uh-huh. again and see everybody. And I thought, well, it's all my mates on the tour. Uh-huh. What's not to like about this? This mm-hmm. could be fun. Mm-hmm. And so I went, yeah, okay. So then the trucker, John, mm-hmm. literally put me in the back of his cab, mm-hmm. drove me into Glasgow, mm-hmm. where I picked up my bags, which I'd just brought over from Ireland. Mm-hmm. Got them in the back of the van. Then he drove to somewhere like Nottingham. I think mm-hmm. that was the next gig. We drove mm-hmm. overnight mm-hmm. and I started the tour. And that was it.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Now, one of my favourite song from your recordings with Mike is To France. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play that song, but it's a new version that you've done.
Well, it's a newer version. Mm-hmm. It's an album of mine called Elena. Mm-hmm. And what I did... I always thought the song should be more Scottish mm-hmm. because when...
It's about Mary Queen of Scots, isn't it?
It became about Mary Queen of Scots. He was out doing a year out for tax reasons mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. Switzerland mm-hmm. and I went out to record. He was recording out there. So I went out and he started sort of playing the songs that he'd put mm-hmm. together and what, you know. And as we were doing this one, the original chorus didn't have anything about Mary Queen of Scots, but it was just, as I was singing it, I thought, oh, you know, I got goose pimples and that. And I said to him, whoa, you know, and he said, what? And the same thing had happened with Moonlight Shadow. Mm-hmm. So I thought, no, I'm not going there. And I went, nothing, you know. And he went, no, what is it? And I said, this story's kind of like Mary Queen of Scots' story. Mm. He said, well, what's that? So I explained what mm-hmm. had happened and how she'd gone to France, married Dauphin, all that kind of thing. And he went, oh, right. So it became about Mary Queen of Scots, which made it much more personal, I think.
So at that stage, it was just embryonic. There weren't full lyrics.
Yeah, it was a different song, but from that point on, the chorus was changed to "Mary Queen of Chance."
Courtesy of your good self.
Yeah, no, but it made it more personal, you know, because it felt more Scottish then.
Yeah, yeah.
And this version is the one that Stuart and I did with Hugh Burns, who also played with Mike after I did. And we got Mark Brzezicki from Big Country to come and do a Scottish drum on it, and we made it much more Scottish.
Okay, we'll have a listen to this. You might remember the legendary version that she did with Mike Oldfield, but there's a bit of a Celtic updated version from a very special guest castaway today, Maggie Riley. Hello to everyone that's listening out there around the world. A few other people I want to say hello to. Ian Brackets Paisley is down there in Paisley getting ready for the big Cayley tonight in Sloan's, the Celtic Music Radio Cayley. We've got Russ over in France. Hi to you, Russ. And we've got Jean Genie and Professor Dave over in France, and they can't help rubbing it in. Professor Dave has said it's about 20 degrees centigrade here today in the vineyard. We did a bit of light gardening. Then we had lunch and a glass or two of a very decent Bordeaux on the lawn, a siesta under the trees. Isn't that cruel?
Dreadful.
cruel. But there's something wrong with the weather. It's not normal, is it? The past week it's been like December. It's freezing.
It's strange, but I mean, it's the same all over. I was in Rome last week doing a TV show, and we thought it was really warm and they thought it was really cold.
Okay.
And then the week before that I was in Latvia just to rub it in, and it was about minus 20.
Yeah, but there's apparently in France today it's 20 degrees.
I know.
So you were in Rome. Were you over there for the new Pope or something?
Just about, yeah. Just about. I was going to try and hang out with him, but
did he get tea with you?
No, not this time.
And Jean Genie in France, she says, "Hi, darling, we're both listening and looking forward to hearing Maggie. She's one of my favourite singers."
Oh, great.
Jean Genie's from Airdrie originally.
Ah.
She's rubbing it in. She says, "I've just come in from a hot and sunny 24 degrees, so it's gone up to 24.
Does she know Jimmy O'Neill then from The Silencers, because he lives in France now?
Who knows? Bernie in Belfast, she says, "Hi from a cool, snowy Belfast, where hopefully the snow is starting to thaw. And I just can't tell you how excited I am to be hearing the wonderful Maggie Riley today. I bet she has a tale or two to tell us." Yeah, I'm lulling her into a false sense of security so that we'll maybe get her to drop some gossip. And Bernie says, "Let the madness commence." Then we've heard from Christine over in New Mexico. Now, I opened the show with Bob Dylan's version of Winter Wonderland.
Yeah.
Have you heard his Christmas album?
No, but I heard that and I was thinking, hang on, wait a minute, what time of year is it?
That's my point entirely, you know. It's the sort of music you should be listening to in the winter, but it feels like winter. So she says, "I can only assume that Bob Dylan had taken a drink or two against the cold before he launched into that rendition of the song." She says, "Maybe you could turn some of the fleece from all those sheep on Doris Island into warm sweaters and hats." She says, "I'm spinning a batch of North Ronaldsay wool right now." The things that people are doing while they're listening to you.
That's great, though. I knit and crochet all the time, so that's good for you. Yes, very nice wool it is, too.
The
I've
life of
it.
A rock chick. I sit and crochet all
Mike actually got me to knit on stage once, which was a bit embarrassing. I used to do it all the time at the side of the stage, rehearsals and things, but he actually said to me, "Do it on while we're doing the song." And I thought, oh, so, and I said to Mike, "I can't do it while it's an actual performance. It just seems totally wrong."
Is there any video footage of that?
Who knows?
That
probably
would be so
there
cool.
Would be.
I love looking at some of the old footage of you and Mike together. Do you think he studied the sort of coolness? Because he gives off this sort of air of couldn't care less, you know, studied, disdained. Was that conscious, do you think?
Is that what you get from him?
Yeah, but I think it's cool. I don't mean it in a derogatory way, but he comes across as quite, you know, just couldn't be bothered, you know.
Oh, gosh, yeah. No, I would
maybe
say...
I'm looking at the wrong clippings, but...
Oh, well, I don't know.
You were the one that was given it at Laldi.
I get the opposite from Mike in that he cares incredibly.
I'm not saying he doesn't
care
about
it. And he is intense in the moment. But I mean, one of the things about working on stage with him, he was horrendously loud. Because the band was horrendously loud. There was a lot of people on stage. But just the way he plays, it's like it's really from the soul, you know, and that's the one thing that you kind of hang on to. You think, this, you know, you find me probably looking at him every so often going, ooh, and he would sort of shake his head and sweat would fly everywhere and you'd think, oh my goodness, this man is really intense.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's a fantastic musician, fantastic.
And you kept in touch?
I haven't spoken to him for a long time now because he's now... I think he's very happy. He's got a family. Mm-hmm. He's in a sunny place.
I think he's Barbados or something.
Yeah, and we were going to work together about 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. We were going to do a thing in Germany. Mm-hmm. And then I had just been recording Rowan and it clashed. And it was a shame because we said, oh, it'd be really nice. Mm-hmm. And he got back to me and said, you know, it'd be lovely. Nobody can do these the way you do. And I thought, yeah, it's going to be lovely
it's
to work
together.
It's true,
though. I mean, I've said that I think that your vocals on his recordings were amongst the best of his career.
Well, thank you.
There was a magic, there was a chemistry there. And also in personality, you just were so different. You know, you came across, as I say, the, you know, the Gait Laldy. And he, as you say, he was just so conscientious about his music, and to me it looks like he's just so aloof, but it's just
it was a huge responsibility and it's only with the passing of time I realize now that I'm doing so-called solo work, which is never solo because I've always got a band, I realize just how much things weighed on his shoulders in order to get his music the way he could hear it in his head.
Yeah,
he had to concentrate really hard and he had to be listening to everybody, and so it must
have
been a
huge strain.
So people
misconstrue that and see it as he's just an awkward personality, but
no,
he's not.
Yeah, I think he just wanted it to be how he wanted it, and it was really important to him, and the stress of that is huge.
Total perfectionist. Yeah. Mona over in Texas says, a big howdy to Maggie. Can you give her a Beer's Den howdy?
Howdy.
Oh, that's sensual. I always get the
howdy, partner. Is that the kind you meant?
And she says, it's another sunny here.
Oh, no.
Wish I could send you all some of this sunshine and you all can send us the rain. And she says, can you give a shout out to Joanna and Carl Hines, her husband, who are staying at the Fairney Palace in Edinburgh right now? That's one of our regular listeners. Joanna, she's on holiday in Edinburgh, but she's coming through here next week.
Oh, that's okay then. I mean, you know, just don't hang out there too long, because you know it's much nicer here in Glasgow.
We were talking about I don't know if you heard Michelle Schacht. Have you seen that?
Not
Furore
recently. No, what?
Yeah, every week on the show I have a discussion about something topical, and today's discussion is how to lose friends and alienate people.
Oh, I know a lot of people that can do that.
So I'm hoping you'll be able to give us some experiences either of your own or of other people. But she is this sort of wonderful lefty leaning singer songwriter in acoustic circles all over the world, but she's from America.
Don't hold that against her.
But in San Francisco last week, she got up in front of a theater and she came out with the words, "God hates faggots." And she is desperately trying to salvage her
career.
Very strange.
It was K.D. Lang in the audience.
I've heard a recording of it, and it's really, really uncomfortable. One by one, the audience get up and leave, and she's left there singing to herself. She's become a born-again Christian, but she's also she's also a gay icon, and she's trying to juxtapose the two things, and she's saying, I didn't mean it like it sounded, but it's really awkward. So she has lost a lot of friends and alienated a lot of people. The other one that Lachlan in Texas mentioned was John Lennon, when he said, the Beatles are bigger than Jesus, and he lost a lot of friends.
He did, but if you think of the context he meant it in, he wasn't saying, I am so great. Mm-hmm. He was actually saying, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We have all these people chasing after us, which is far more than Jesus had in his time. Mm-hmm. He was actually making a point that it was ridiculous, their fame.
But people again
taken the other way. But I mean, that other comment that you just made is bizarre.
It's
bizarre. A Donna Summer moment.
Yeah, well,
really.
It's gone viral over in America, and it'll probably reach the UK, you know, and how she's going to salvage her career, I don't know.
It's just ridiculous, though. It's a kind of, why would you say something like that?
Theatre in San Francisco,
but anywhere,
of all places.
Why would you say something like that? It just doesn't make any sense.
In front of your adoring fans, you know. I love her music, but the jury is out on what she said. But I want to, when you stopped working with Mike, mm-hmm. uh, you you recorded an album, and it was called Echoes, wasn't it?
The first one.
Echoes. And there was a song on it which became a very, very big hit called Every Time We Touch.
Yes.
I adore that song.
Well, I kind of like it too.
And you were number one practically all over Scandinavia.
It was a huge record. It was record of the year in a lot of countries.
I should say that we've got a few Danes listening in. We've got the Danish Angels, Lonnie and Eva. And we've also got Mimai in Finland. So they'll be familiar
with
this song. Tell me how this song came around.
I stopped working with Mike because I wanted to stay home for a while. I'd been touring for years and years, and I decided I wanted to have a child and things like that and have a normal life. Then I realised that actually that wasn't what I wanted because while I was at home, I was doing bits and pieces with various people like Mike Batt, and I would go and do something with Dave Gilmore or something. But it didn't really satisfy.
It must have been good for them to have you on their CV.
Well, I loved working with them because I absolutely adore Dave Gilmore. He's just such a lovely person. And it was fantastic to work with people of that stature. But I missed touring because I'd always been travelling all my life. And so I kind of thought, well, somebody asked me to go and do a thing in Germany. So I went over to do it with Klaus Voormann, the guy that worked with the Beatles when they were really young. And it was like, wow, Klaus Voormann, yes, I'm there. And this guy came and met me and basically he said, would you like to do a solo album? And I said, I like working in bands. I don't really want to be a solo artist. And
that surprises me because you had the voice of an angel. You still do.
Just like the company of being. Yeah. I like bossing them about. And like they're like my brothers and things. And it's like having a little family on the road.
How did they cope with the Glasgow patter?
Well, no, I mean, it was good. But so in the end, he persuaded me, okay, you know, do your own album, write your songs, do whatever. And that one was written about actually going out to America with Mike. We went out on a world tour just before the Falklands War started. And we were away the whole time of the war. And we only ever heard of it over the American news, which was nothing. By the time we got back, it had all finished. And the song lyric was written about my boyfriend, who it was a very new romance at the time. And he came out to visit me, and we kept missing each other in the hotel in different lifts. And eventually we met in the lift and we took each other's hand, and the static and the carpet and the floor made our rings and our hands go bleh.
So it's actually true when you sing about the static.
Yeah, it was about that,
fascinating.
And so it was great when it was really successful because it was like, wow.
Were you nervous? I mean, Stevie over in Toronto, he owns a radio station in Toronto and he is a big fan of your music. He loved the album Echoes, and he says, were you nervous going out on your own after being with Mike? You know,
No, because you had with Cado Bell, I had always worked, and the band before Joe Cool and stuff, I'd always worked with other people. And so even as a solo artist, you still work with other people, you know. So the thing is to get people who you really like and admire and you work together. And then it's actually enjoyable because each night when you're doing a performance of something, you can feed off each other. You know, somebody will do something and you go, wow, you know. And it makes you kind of up your game and stuff. And so I wasn't nervous because I knew I was going to work with people I wanted to work with. It was a bit daunting in the thing of taking the responsibility all on my own shoulders, though, because ultimately that's how it goes now. It's not spread out amongst five of us. But I've kind of got used to that and think to myself, okay, well, that's what it has to be. You know, when it comes to doing a tour, financing everything, stuff like that, then obviously it all hangs on you, and how good it is hangs on you. But then the people I work with have equally good intentions. They want their work to be the best it can be.
So you're a perfectionist.
Well, nobody sits back and just goes, oh, that'll do. You know, they want it to be their best work, and I want it to be my best work, and it, it seems to work out really well.
Okay. And again, we've got an updated Celtic-y version
of
Every Time We Touch.
Yes, well, you've got an updated version. I haven't heard it for a wee while.
I love this song.
You like it?
Yeah,
good.
I think a lot of people might recognise this one as well, because I'm going to talk about a very famous version from about 8 years ago.
Okay.
After this.
Okay.
You're listening to The Sunday Session with DJ Doris and my very special guest, castaway Maggie Riley. And we're talking about everything to do with her career, all the wonderful people she's worked with. And we're also talking about how to lose friends and alienate people. And hello to Pauline and Stephen in Glasgow. Pauline Alexander, she's the Celtic Music Radio voice of an angel. I know that was your name as well. So
I think it's been everybody's name, anybody that comes out with a high voice.
So her other half, Stephen, says, I'm making a wee pot of soup, but as I am the master of foot-in-mouth disease, I thought I would share this. He says, years ago, I worked in a comedy club. One of the acts was local and would regularly compare and do their stuff on stage. The first time, I really enjoyed their stuff, but week after week, you would hear the same material with little deviation. Eventually, even their voice started to irritate me. I was having a night off work and I went down to the comedy club to watch a show with a couple of pals who brought along a couple of theirs. Whilst the comedian was on stage, I turned one of the new faces in the group to one of the new faces and I said, have you heard this comedian? To which there was little answer. I continued with, I can't stand them. Their routine is awful. They do my head in. How they ever got to be a comedian, I will never know. To which she replied, that's my mum.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Nightmare. That is a total nightmare,
Steve. Foot in mouth, yes.
Foot in mouth. Michelle Shocked has suffered with it. John Lennon possibly suffered with it. The other one I thought of was the lead singer of the Dixie Chicks, Natalie, wasn't it, a few years ago?
Oh, yeah, what was it?
In London, she said it was during the height of the Iraq War, and she was. They mentioned George Bush and everyone started booing and she says, well, we hate him as well.
Yeah, I remember.
And they lost most of their following.
I know, which was
on
a shame
the country scene.
Great band.
Yeah, just shows your foot in mouth. Professor Dave says, hi again. Just to let you know, in the 80s when Jean Genie and I were in the throes of an 8-year-old Mediterranean cruise, we were moored in Portoferio, Isle of Elba. And he says, and we were serenaded by moonlight shadow every morning at about 8 a.m. by the grace of a dockside bar. It kept us connected to modern music. So that little bar over on the Mediterranean played you every morning at 8 o'clock. What a wake-up call.
I wonder if they still do. Is it still sunny there? I wonder.
He says, my most profound apologies have to go to Maggie because once I was under the misapprehension that Mike Oldfield only used his sister Sally on that vocal, but now I have been put right.
Yes, a few people have come up with that. I don't really know why, because it was always made quite clear it was me.
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
Just shows you. Right, I want to just play a little... Before the break there, we were listening to one of your biggest hits, Every Time We Touch. Now, about 8 years ago, a German-British band called Cascada had a massive international hit with that. How did that come about?
Well, it kind of came about in a weird way, because I didn't know anything about it. And then one of my son's cousins in Liverpool, he's a DJ, Paul, and he kept saying, your songs, and I was thinking, oh, well, maybe somebody's just kind of messing with it or something. And eventually one day he phoned up and said, look, your song has been, and so I thought, okay, I better see what it is. And it turned out to be the Cascada thing. And it's interesting because the two guys behind Cascada who did all the arrangement and everything, I had been in contact with them a few years before and the idea had been that we would do some stuff together. And they came, we had meetings in various places across Germany and we talked about it and how we would do it. And it never quite came together that we got together to do it. And so it was interesting when I suddenly saw them on and I thought, oh, hang on. So they had gone ahead and done it anyway.
I'm just going to play a little snatch to show how a song can develop from era to era because initially your song was in the 80s, wasn't it? Or early 90s?
Early 90s.
And then 20 years later, it's a much more sort of a... This is a lounge version I'm going to play. There was the dance club version.
There's some very bizarre versions all over the world.
But I want to play this version of Cascada's Every Time We Touch. And, I mean, their version was a hit practically in every country in the world. So have a listen to this. little hint of a very modern version of your song. What did you think of their version? Did you like it?
They had lots of different. I mean, they've about five different versions. They've got the chill out mix. They've got the piano mix. It's just a different approach. Yeah,
but it must be quite an honour.
It's interesting. Some dance type things you think, I don't like that. But in general, I thought it was quite good.
Billy down in Kilmarnock, I was really, really impressed with the fact that you've worked with someone from Cream, Jack Bruce.
Yeah, I was impressed with that too, Billy. One of my all-time favourite singers, musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. it was great to be asked to do it, and I wasn't disappointed. Okay. Fantastic.
Cool. Now, we're going to send you off to Doris Island for a few moments. You're going to be in a hut in the Hebrides on your own for a week with no mod cons, but we're letting you bring a few choices of music to listen to. You might not have time to play the full songs, but I'd like to hear little snatches of what you're going to be listening to. What's the first one?
This is a Finnish group called Vertina.
I wonder if Mimai over in Finland has heard of them.
She will have. They're Suomis. And I first heard them on Radio 4.
Is it track one?
It is track three.
Okay. On you go. Tell me about it.
This is called Viken Vaivana. And I actually sung it with them. I tracked them down in Finland and sort of met up with them, and we sung it. They came to a concert and we sung it in the stairwell. And then we did a TV show where I had the, it's ancient Finnish, they sing in, and I had this thing, and they are just fantastic, phenomenal.
Cool. Listening to the Finnish band called Vertina, and it's the first track that Maggie Riley is taking with her over to Doris Island. Mimai over in Finland says, yes, I do know them, but the spoken Finnish does not sound like that anymore.
No, I know. It was very hard to sing with them because I had to learn it phonetically.
Okay. Now, Maggie, while that's playing in the background, I want to bring your career a bit more up to date. You did an album called Rowan, which is like you're returning to your Scottish roots in a way. It was a few years ago you did it, didn't you? Something you've always wanted to do, to get back to the sort of Scottish traditional sound, or to do it? Because you hadn't really done it before, had you?
Well, not really, but Stuart and I, years and years ago when I was with Mike actually in Germany, the Battlefield Band were supporting for some of the shows, and I used to go out with them of an evening and have a sing in the pubs and things, and then one night they said, look, would you come up and sing with us? And after I'd done that, I thought, yeah, actually, do you know what, I would like to sort of do some more traditional things and maybe add some stuff. So eventually Stuart and I thought, why not, let's we were writing stuff for a musical, and it was all sounding a bit folksy, and so we thought, let's go with it. So Rowan was kind of the album that we did
I want to play a track from that. It's called The Star. It's a beautiful song. Tell me about it.
Well, you've chosen that one. That is actually Alistair Robertson, who was the lyricist for a long time with Cadel Bell, who used to go to school with Stuart over in the South Side. It was Alistair's song, and Alistair sent me an album that he'd made, and he said, This is an album I made recently, just thought you'd like to hear it. And I heard that song and I thought, that's really lovely, I'm going to put that on the album.
Okay.
So this is my version of Alistair's song.
From the album Rowan.
Yep.
My very special guest, Castaway today, Maggie Riley, and Alistair Robertson's song called The Star. People saying that's beautiful, and I'm just saying to you, Maggie, your voice hasn't lost the ability to hit those high notes beautifully.
Thank you. As I said, I'm really fortunate. Long may it continue, touch wood.
Yeah. Talking about how to lose friends, and Christine in New Mexico says, American politicians often manage to alienate people, as during our last election, when Mitt Romney said that 47% of Americans considered themselves victims who were dependent on government. She says it's not an endearing comment, so thanks for that, Christine. I want to ask you now about the second track that you're taking with you over to Doris Island. What's it going to be?
Right, well, this second track I want to take, you have to start at about a minute in. It's actually brand new, finished last night.
Ooh.
It's a girl called Fiona Johnson, who has played on my new album, Heaven Sent, and this is one of the tracks from her forthcoming album.
Track number two.
It's track number one.
Track number one.
And but just start a minute.
I'm going to start playing
it
now.
Yeah, because it's quite ambient. Yeah. But she and Ross were working on it last night to get it finished because I wanted to bring it in because it's absolutely beautiful. And on my island, I would listen to it and it would just calm me. And it would transport me to somewhere else.
I can hear the wind blowing. It does sound like Doris Island. So does this go on for about a minute before?
The intro part is very ambient.
Right, what I'm going to do then, I'm going to ask you about your book, your DVD and your luxury item. What book will you be taking with you over to the island?
It was very difficult because I've started reading, I've written it down here so I don't forget, I've started reading a lot of Peter May books, the trilogy about Lewis. I'm on the last one, The Chessmen. I like that.
I'm not familiar with them.
Well, you should go out and buy them because they're very, very
good.
What
are they called again?
It's the Lewis trilogy.
When you say Lewis, I mean
Lewis the Island.
I was thinking of Lewis Carroll for
Some reason. The reason I picked it up in the first place was that the character in it is called Finn, which is my son's name, so I kind of thought, read about it.
About the Island of
Great
Lewis,
books.
Okay.
Great books.
DVD?
But I'm not going to take that book, though. Okay. I'm going to take Alan First, any of his, but probably The Polish Officer, because I'm really into spy books.
Ooh. I had never heard of him either. I'll
well,
need to check
you should.
Him out.
He is fantastic. It's all of his books have the same characters weaving through them, and it's about the perspective of World War II, the start up to it, from a European perspective, Greece, Cyprus, Spain.
What's his name again?
Alan First.
Okay.
And W.H. Smith's never have him in their bookstores. It
Amazon
drives me
will
mad.
Have it.
I keep saying, get them in, get them in.
What about your DVD? What would you be watching?
It would be the Jimmy Stewart film, It's a Wonderful Life, but only in black and white.
Okay.
Because I love when Clarence gets his wings, and I just love that film.
You're about the 10th person that's taking that movie.
I know, and it's one of the most popular films in the world, and I could have gone with Gross Point Blank or My Cousin Vinny or Serendipity, any of the John Cusack things, because I love him.
Okay, and finally, luxury item, what can you not do without?
Luxury item, well, I did think knitting wool, and then I thought my dog, maybe, but you're not going to let me have my dog.
I will let you bring your dog.
Okay, so Harvey's going to come with me.
No friends or family, but a dog's allowed.
Well, my other thought was maybe a sort of solar powered radio or some good woolen socks or something, you know, but the dog will be better.
Cool, thank you for that. And again, we're listening to who?
This is Fiona Johnson, and this is going to be from her album. It's called Fragments.
Riley is sitting bopping away to this. I think she's already transported over to Doris Island. Lovely, lovely stuff.
It's
thanks
beautiful,
for
isn't it?
Letting,
so look out for Fiona.
Letting us hear that. Get yourself up to that microphone. We'll hear you.
Okay.
Everyone is really enjoying your music. A lot of people agree with you about It's a Wonderful Life.
Good, because it just makes you feel all warm and cuddly inside.
Yeah. Russ thought that the Finnish music sounded like the Warsaw Village Band. I've never heard of them.
I haven't heard of them either, but I maybe check them out now.
Russ says if Fiona does a radio edit of that, then I will play it on my show over in France, so you could maybe put those two together.
I will definitely do that, absolutely.
Okay. Now I want to also talk about an album that you did of covers, because you don't just do original stuff, you do a lot of, well, you did one album particularly of covers.
Was this my Danish album?
No, it was the one, I want to play your version of True Colours.
Oh, right, I made that in Denmark. Mm-hmm. That was the Danish
album. I didn't realise it was made in Denmark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about this one.
I was asked to make an album, and I thought, what songs would I like to sing of other people's? And I went through a list, and we all drew up lists and things that you don't remember and things you... And I actually wanted to do the other Cyndi Lauper song, the more famous one that everybody always does, and... Mm-hmm. Somebody in the studio said, no, what
girls
about this?
Just want to have fun.
No, the other, I've forgotten the name of it now, the other ballad that she had,
I love
which
this
was really
one.
Huge.
This is beautiful.
And somebody said, have a listen to this. And I thought, yeah, let's do that then. And I didn't actually listen to her version. I just listened to somebody play piano. Mm-hmm. And so that was good because I didn't have a memory of her singing it. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the things I do a lot live, and it's just beautiful. I just do it with piano with Stuart.
The album is Save It for a Rainy Day. You'll
That's
get
right.
lots of those in Glasgow, so lots of people will be listening to this album a lot. Here, sit back with your glass of red wine or whatever, and Cyndi Lauper's True Colours done in the voice of an angel of Maggie Riley. from the album Save It for a Rainy Day. And it's my very special guest castaway today, the legendary Maggie Reilly. People are just cooing. I think that's the right word. Nicol in Edinburgh says this is an amazing version of True Colours. He also wanted to point out that the other Cyndi Lauper song was Time After Time.
Time After Time, yeah. We remembered. I'm suffering from Alzheimer's.
Hello to Paul down in Bristol. He says this is an amazing version of this song. I haven't heard it before. Well, it's my guest castaway, Paul. And Christy over in California loved it as well. So you've definitely got a hit there. Mona loved it as well in Texas.
Thank you very much.
You've struck an accord with that one. So I want to play a song now, a little hint of it anyway. And then I'm going to ask you about your association with this band. Hopefully I've got the right track. I'm going to line up this song, and it's a song called Living Next Door to Alice, and then everyone will shout out, who the hell is Alice? Yeah, or they won't use the word hell, they'll use another word.
Exactly.
But you have worked with this next band. I'm going to just play a hint
for
of this.
For my sins.
Okay, Smokey. Right, Smokey and the wonderful classic song Living Next Door to Alice. And Mona in Texas says that's one of those songs you just can't get out of your head. It's like Billy, Don't Be a Hero.
Yep.
But you've worked with Smokey. What happened?
I made a record, a single with them, and I've completely, Alzheimer's has kicked in. I've forgotten the title of it. It was when I did the Danish album. They happened to work in the same studio and asked me to do it.
Yeah, you've worked with Ralph McTell.
I was Caitlin. I played the part of he had a musical kind of idea that he was doing, and he got me along to do that, and he was lovely.
And also the legendary Mike Batt, you know, of the Wombles fame. He's also discovered Katie Melua. He's written hits for David Essex and Cliff Richard, and the list goes on. Art Garfunkel, Bright Eyes, he wrote that, did he? Yeah, classic.
Yeah, the genius.
And you worked with him on the Hunting of the Snark album, didn't you? Sort of a concept album.
I did a long time ago, but I also, we did some songs together, one of which was a thing called Life After John, which the BBC got their hands on, and I used to get calls about where did this come from and stuff. He's an absolutely brilliant guy, Mike, and lovely to work with.
And the final track you're taking with you to, in fact, we've got that lined up, but first of all, I'm going to give the answer to the competition. Lots of people are going to be wanting to win a copy of your album.
Okay.
We've got two albums to choose from, so the winner can decide which one they want. Every week I give an answer to a question. The listeners have to come up with the question.
They've got to come up with the question. Oh, great.
Right. So they have to send their entries to studio@celticmusicradio.net. That's studio@celticmusicradio.net. Don't send it anywhere else. The answer this week is fire. The answer is fire. What is the question? studio@celticmusicradio.net. The third song, final song you're taking with you to the island, it's an old Scottish one, is it?
Well, it's Steel Eyes Span, and it's a song called Parcel of Rogues. Very Scottish, and it's one that every time I heard it when I lived in England, it used to make me get a bit of a tear in my eye.
Okay, little hint of this, classic Robbie Burns song. Hello to Frida in the Lowlands of Holland, by the way, and Terry down in County Clare has now joined us just in time for the competition. The answer is fire. What is the question? And Maggie Reilly, you very kindly brought along some exclusive recordings from your new album, haven't you?
Yes, not only Fiona, but some of mine too.
While this is playing in the background, tell us about, I mean, what have you got coming up?
Well, I'm recording at Rocket Science just now, which is in Woodlands Road, just along from where I used to live. I'm doing it with Brian McNeil, who's from China Crisis, and Ross Hamilton, the famous Ross Hamilton. And Stuart MacKillop, of course, is always there. We can't get rid of him after all these years. And we've been working on the new album, which is just sounding fantastic. It's kind of, the songs have turned out to be sort of across Stuart's and my sort of career, really, because there's one that's very Cato Bell sounding to us, and it's the title track, Heaven Sent. It's just really been great to do it. It's all Scottish, made in Scotland, everyone on it's Scottish, and it's just, I'm really enjoying it. We did a show, we had Duncan Chisholm play fiddle on one of the tracks. And
he's a big star here
on
this show.
And it was just beautiful, you know, and we've got lots of great, great musicians on it. And I'm just really, loving it, and it's going to be great.
Cool, and you've got you've got a tour coming up in Europe, don't you, this summer?
Well, we're doing some shows in Lithuania in May with an orchestra. Mm-hmm. We've just been to Latvia and Rome, and we're going to do some Finland, Denmark, Germany. It's all being put together right at the moment, Sam. I want to work everywhere and anywhere this year because I've not toured for a while.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to all of that. And I'd love to do some shows in Scotland, but nobody seems to want me to do
anything. So if there's anyone out there that wants to book the legend that is Maggie Reilly, get in touch with her.
Yes, please.
You've got a website and you've got a Facebook page.
Everything, yes. Absolutely.
Do you want to give the details? Is it maggiereilly.co.uk?
That's it.
And Facebook, just go Maggie Reilly Appreciation. People, I'm going to play a little hint of a band that you've played with.
Okay.
And then I'm going to play a little bit of a Clue song, and then we're going to hear some preview tracks from your new album. Here is Runrig. Maggie, working with Runrig, when was that?
Oh, a long time ago. A friend of mine, Neen, from Stornoway, she used to go on and on about this band up there, and she was always wanting to try and get us together. Mm-hmm. And eventually, at some point, they were down in London recording, and they just gave me a call, and I went over and did a few things with them, and then did a show with them at Hammersmith Odeon, which shows you how long ago, and Christopher Rainbow was there, Rainbow and stuff, and it was great.
Cool,
fantastic band.
Cool. Right, lots of people wanting to win this competition. The Clue song would have been Robbie Williams' Millennium, but I don't have time to play it. Professor Dave says, Prometheus gave what to humankind? It's an erudite one, but it's cold. Phil in Belfast says, we're getting goosebumps over here as the music today is really superb. Mikey is an amazing guest. If the weather on Doris Island is anything like Belfast, tell her to pack up her thermals and a few wee drams.
I'm there.
Bernie says, what sort of a wall protects your computer information? Nope. Christine says, what destroyed the Blue Lagoon chip shop in Glasgow in 2012?
I love that place.
Then Lynn says, Johnny Cash's song is about what kind of ring? No. We're going to hear a preview song from Maggie's new album. Tell me about the track two.
Track two, this is called Fare Thee Well. This is the first time it's going to be played anywhere. And it was about my dog, actually. It's a love song about the sad death of my beautiful, beautiful Dalmatian Tess. But don't be sad, because it could be about anybody. In my case, it's my dog, but it could be about your friend or just losing somebody.
And it's hot off the press. No one has heard it before.
Well, we played it live at the Tron, but it's never been on radio.
It's track two.
Track two.
Exclusive.